We be live. Hello, everybody. Today, we're going to be discussing a released hostage from Israel. This one was sent to us by Anna. So usually when there's four of us here, we're often doing a clip Rivka has sent to us. But this time, we're doing a clip that Anna decided. So Anna, can you give us... By the way, hi, everybody.
Hey.
First, before...
Hi. Hey. Hello, everyone. Yeah.
Before Anna gives us an explanation about what we're watching, please, everybody, just spend 1 second. Please like the stream. Your likes really, really help us grow the channel. Every time you like, you're responsible for YouTube deciding to show this to more people. So you have the power to make more people see the stream. So, and you could do that by just spending half a second liking the stream. So please go ahead and do that. Go on, Anna. Explain to us. What are we watching?
So this girl was kidnapped by the Hamas and held by the Hamas for nearly 2 months. She was kidnapped in the Nova Festival. She was there also with a friend, and the friend is unfortunately, he was kidnapped as well, but he returned to Israel unalive. So, and her story is probably one of the most significant, I want to say, like, it really, I watched her interviews several times, and it really touched me. And I mean, she endured so much pain and just psychological abuse as well. And it's very important for me to get these stories out, because we are nearing 100 days that nearly like 130 people are still held hostage in Gaza. So
including a baby.
People. Yes, including women and children. Until this day, there are still 130 hostages in Gaza, and we're day 97, if I'm not wrong. So nearly 100 days in tunnels or apartments, hidden from the entire world, not receiving any medical care, not receiving... like they don't have any rights. Nobody knows their situation and their whereabouts.
And the International Red Cross still has not visited any of them in Gaza, including people who need medication.
The Hamas is not the Red Cross to access people.
Okay, so I'm going to just play this completely through and through before we start talking about it. So there's three videos. The first two are explaining the situation in English. But then we also have a video from this Arabic channel called Zat Mesr. And Anna sent that to us because that channel has completely, she's saying that they edited it in a way to misrepresent what she is saying, but we'll get to that. Right, because apparently that's the most outrageous part of this. This is the reason why Anna was also so eager for us to show you this, because how people who are doing propaganda against Israel or try to whitewash what Hamas is doing, the way that they bend the truth to make it seem like it's something different, this is a good way for us to see that here. So, and that, by the way, that one is in Hebrew, I think, and Anna is going to translate that for us. But for now, let's watch this clip. This is a short one.
Hello, my name is Mia Shem. I'm 21 years old, from Shoham. At the moment, I'm in Gaza. They have operated on my hand here at the hospital. They've taken care of me. They're giving me medicine. Everything is okay. The only thing I'm asking is that you bring me home as soon as possible to my family.
Mia Shem became the hostage every Israeli knew. She was in the thoughts of every Israeli soldier before going into war. She was held in Hamas captivity for weeks, injured in a small room with no daylight, sitting on a mattress while a guard was across from her, watching her 24/7.
I can see his face in my mind. His eyes are burned into my memory.
Sitting in front of him, she decided she will come back. She will survive this. And for the first time, she's speaking candidly on the isolation and the brutality.
I was not allowed to cry.
Why?
Because If you will cry, we'll send you to the tunnels. I was in a tiny room, 8 feet by 8 feet. Two people were in it, me and a terrorist, looking at me 24/7, examining me. I was afraid he would rape me. There's a fear. Of him taking his weapon and putting a bullet in my head with no warning. The room was closed. They would throw food once a day. Some days there was no food. The kids would open the door, look inside, talk about me, laugh about me. They looked at me as if I was an animal. I was afraid anything could happen at any moment. He could touch me.
Did he ever do something like that?
No, only because his wife was outside the door. If we were there alone, something was bound to happen.
In this small room, there were rules. Mia wasn't allowed to talk or move or even cry.
Once I was choked up with tears. He looked at me and said in Arabic, "Enough, stop crying or I'll send you to the tunnel." I'm telling myself, stay strong, don't fall apart here. You'll be back home soon. That's what I was telling myself all the time.
Mia understood that in order to survive, she needed to pretend, to play the cruel game of the terrorist that was sitting across from her.
Once he lost it, he started crying and took his Kalashnikov. I was sure he was about to put a bullet in my head. I got close to him and sat down and asked, "What's wrong? What's wrong? Why are you crying?" He told me that two of his friends died in an Israeli attack. Secretly, I was elated, but I was like that, playing the game, you know? I didn't see daylight for 54 days. I also didn't move, so I was barely walking. My legs were shaking.
Were you able to sleep there?
Maybe for an hour. You can't really sleep when a Hamas terrorist is sitting and staring at you. I can hear the strikes, heavy strikes, massive strikes. The windows shattered on me. There were a few days when I lost my hearing. I wasn't scared from the strikes for a moment. It cheered me up. And then one day, it was completely silent, and I told myself something is happening.
The ceasefire between Hamas and Israel came into effect. When the exchange of prisoners and hostages started, Mia was moved to another location. There, after almost 50 days alone, she met other hostages.
We were all in the same boat.
And then what? They tell people daily who's getting released?
It was a Russian roulette. It was the most difficult thing.
That some are released and some others are not? She was released in the final exchange, and the moment she said goodbye to the hostages in Gaza does not leave her. On her way home, Hamas shot this video.
People are very good, very kind to me. All of them feel good and the kindness and everything.
You know you're seconds away from going back home, and Hamas terrorist is shoving a camera in your face. He told me, "Say the people of Gaza are nice. Say good things." What can I say? You're crap?
Keren, Mia's mom, did everything she could for this moment. They are together again. But her best friend Elia, that was with her at the party and was kidnapped right next to her, was killed. The IDF extracted his body from Gaza. Mentally, she is still in Gaza, and no one knows how long it will take until she'll return. But physically, she's here, exactly like she dreamed all those nights in captivity.
This was my dream. I can't believe I'm here. At home.
Okay, you guys go ahead. I have a lot of, I'm trying to speak Les, so you guys can speak, but I have a couple opinions, but you guys go first.
I want to add some background around her arm and how she was injured. Basically, she tried to escape the Nova Festival with her friend and by her car. And basically, terrorists started shooting at cars, and one shot her in the arm, like from a very, very close range. She spoke that the terrorists like saw her in the face and shot right at her. And at first she thought that she lost her arm, like she was screaming and hysterical. And the medical care she received in Gaza was completely inadequate. I mean, they only operated her after 3 days. And before that, she didn't receive any, not painkillers, not nothing. And then after they operated her, they made like this video when you see with she has like her arm operated on. And after the video, they didn't check it at all. Like this was her entire medical care. One second.
Okay, guys, before Rivka speaks, I just want to show you guys that we just been demonetized already 10 minutes into the show. So I don't know exactly why we got demonetized, but if you guys want to use the super chats to help us out, that would be great so that we don't have to worry about what we say. Again, I'm going to request a review because we didn't say anything bad at all here, but YouTube demonetizes us. But if you guys want to use the super chats, once I request a review, this appeal will take a couple of days, and I just want to let people know that by the time that they appeal, like if they do give our monetization back, it takes 2 or 3 days, and by that time most of the views of the live stream is already finished, so it's not going to make much of a difference. But yeah, go on, Rivka, and then also Elliot.
You're muted. Am I correct in saying that this was the woman who was operated on by the veterinarian?
Yes, actually, yes.
That's what I thought, yeah.
She was operated by the veterinarian, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I've heard people bring up stuff like this, where, you know, she mentions that, you know, she was given food, she was given medical treatment, you know, and I've heard people use that as kind of a way to say like, oh my gosh, look how great Hamas is. You know, they've given medical treatment, they've given food, you know, they're not, you know, abusing these people or anything, right? So let me just say this for anybody who isn't sure on this. If you burn somebody's house down and then you sweep up some of the ashes later, that doesn't absolve you from burning their house down, right? Mm. So just as a reminder, what happened for these people to be in this situation where they would be given inadequate medical treatment, they were kidnapped. They were kidnapped and held hostage. Okay. So, we lost Armin.
Okay. We will continue without him.
We'll keep going. He'll come back. But yeah, you don't get off for kidnapping people just because after you kidnapped them you didn't treat them like absolute shit, right? I mean, is that fair?
Or no, you kept them alive to use them. That's right. Why it's right. Not so well, much
I think that even if Hamas treated these kidnaps like five-star hotel, it is still extremely wrong to kidnap people. By itself, you can't justify it. And exactly. with Mia Shem specifically, she says that she didn't shower for 54 days, didn't shower. She didn't have adequate like food. She says that she was fed like once a day at best. Okay. So food was scarce. Also, a lot of the things that she said in her longer interviews was that the main torture was psychological because she was alone in a small room with the terrorist 24/7. His wife would come and give tea only to him and give food only to him and not to her, and treat her like very badly. His kids would come to the room, give like candies to him and not to her. Like, this is the type. And also that sometimes this terrorist would say, tomorrow you are being released tomorrow. And then like she wakes up in the morning and thinks, okay, like something must happen. And he's like, no. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the torture, unfortunately, this kind of torture is often disregarded, is often not treated as seriously.
Yes.
But I think she underwent a lot of psychological torture. Yes, she wasn't raped, but her psychological state, it's probably, I'm not so sure if you can recover from such torture. Like, imagine being told several times that you're getting released and then like, no, maybe in a year, maybe in two, maybe in four, like this kind of stuff.
Also, I think that in one of the longer videos, she discusses that. She says the worst is the mental torture. It still is, because she's having a hard time with what happened to her mentally, let alone the physical. I mean, that heals. It's obvious. You can see it. You start to move your arm better. But the mental torture, the psychological torture, that can last for some people a lifetime, you know? And I'm imagining like these children, what they're going through. You know, she's at least an adult. She has some ability to reason and to tell herself it'll be okay. But, you know, we have a one-year-old baby, a four-year-old boy. Mm-hmm. I mean, these children are being, you know, psychologically damaged.
Yeah.
And it's really horrific, regardless of whether they're feeding them. I mean, they took them away from their parents.
Right.
So that's important to remember, that, you know, no matter how much they fed them or whatever, gave them tea, they still were kidnapped.
And the way that also, the method in which they were kidnapped, right? This is the level of analysis some people are giving, where they're taking these little things and they're saying that this absolves them of all these atrocities. But so not only were these people kidnapped, but these people were kidnapped as their friends, their family members were murdered in front of their eyes. That was the last thing that they saw before they were forced into a dank, you know, disgusting tunnel for 100 days. Like, so yeah, it is just piling on torture on top of torture. So yeah, the fact that a veterinarian saw her hand is meaningless, in my opinion.
And by the way, like, aside from the veterinarian stuff, she also now underwent a lot of surgical operations right now for her hand, like several she already underwent, because, you know, her hand is still not fully functional. So she's trying to regain the function in her hand. And another thing is, she was kidnapped with her best friend, with whom she went to this music festival. And only after she came back from captivity, she received the news that he was killed in captivity. Like, imagine the psychological blow to her that her best friend is never going to return. And she was probably like the last Israeli to see him.
Right. I just have to, I have a few things to say, but right before I do that, let me just address the super chat. HTXL, thank you so much for the $5 super chat. Thank you so much. By the way, guys, we've just been demonetized already. So anybody who gives us super chats, that really, really helps us just not worry about the fact that what we say on this channel and be able to just speak freely. So thank you so much for that. Obsessed Runner saying, maybe you get demonetized when you show full videos without editing or commentary. No, demonetization, that would be a copyright strike, Obsessed Runner. Demonetization is about the commentary, or it's about the type of content, or if it's a problematic thing that you're showing. If it's about that would be something different would happen to your video. But thank you so much, Obsessed Runner, for that. And also another one from Obsessed Runner saying demonetization fund. So yes, thank you. Also, two comments. First of all, a lot of people are pointing out to the part when they asked her if he touched you, and she said no. And a lot of people are saying, oh, that's a win for Hamas. But to me, that shows that the rest of their story is much more reliable, because there's nothing that could stop her, because she was in a room private with that man without anyone seeing. So there was nothing stopping her from saying, yeah, he touched me. Like, she could have just said that. And there's literally nobody that could have verified that she's lying. But she said that, no, he didn't. To me, that adds to her credibility about the rest of her story, that the rest of it is true, because she's not making up stuff. Because if she was trying to make up stuff, why she wouldn't just add that as well? What do you guys think about that?
Well, actually, like, when I listened to her entire interview, she said when she was kidnapped, okay, and her her arm was already shot, and she was like full in blood and everything. There was someone who tried to touch her, but she started screaming hysterically, and he just tried and not really didn't persist with
right.
it.
I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that when she was captured in the room with that man that was holding her, guarding her for so many days.
Only his wife and 10-year-old son were there, so only like.
No, that's not my point. My point is that she has his own guesses for why he didn't touch her, but at the end of the day, she was in a room with him, and she could have told the world that, yeah, he also touched me, and she didn't do that. She could have easily done that, and nobody would be able to verify her, but she decided to not add that. What do you think about Elliot?
I take the point that you're bringing about raising her credibility, and I think that's something to think about. I think this whole exchange is actually more telling for the Hamas side. And here's why I say this is because if I heard, for instance, because a lot of people are equating the hostages that Hamas kidnapped with, you know, prisoners in Israel, right? So they're saying, oh, well, Israel's got all these prisoners, you know, they're the same, the hostages, they're the same. They're not. Stop saying that. But if a friend of mine said to me tomorrow, hey, man, I was in jail over the weekend, and I asked my friend, did they rape you? Aren't I kind of indicating that that's what I'm expecting to happen?
I was going to make the same point.
And so when the supporters of this group, the people who have come out and said, God, you know, they're just not that bad, you guys. Calling Hamas terrorist is a racist thing. When people say crap like that, and then they go, hey, ask her if they touched her. Ask her. Oh, see, they didn't. Oh, my gosh. Isn't that? I think they're really telling on themselves. I think that's what's really happening there. They're telling you that, yeah, that is actually what the standard is. So, and how do we know that it's the standard? Because they made and posted videos themselves. So just.
And, you know, the fact that she specifically wasn't raped doesn't mean that all 200 plus people who were kidnapped were also not raped, because they were like distributed, some in the tunnels, some in apartments. Like, she was kept in an apartment of this Hamas terrorist. So you can't really know like every single story is unique. And according to her, you can't know anything about the other people and what they endured.
I just want to make one last point. So all this focus that other people especially are putting on, well, you know, was she sexually abused? Did this happen? Did that happen? To me, it doesn't even matter. As Anna had said earlier, it's like they would say, well, being kidnapped isn't that bad, but only if you're raped, then it's bad. No, the point is she was kidnapped. Her friend was murdered. She was shot. She was held for all these days without knowing what was going on. She was psychologically tortured. That in and of itself is bad enough. You don't need to add something else for people. And that's what is frustrating to me. Well, people, you know, none of that's bad enough. If something happened to her, if she was sexually violated, well, okay, then we'll agree that's not nice. It just seems like you're just bringing it up almost as a either point to prove or some sort of weird titillation for people. Mm-hmm. I find it really abhorrent, and it doesn't take away from what she suffered just because this didn't happen. And
yeah, right.
I mean, to me, they asked her the question. She answered no. Okay, it's done. Move on. And right. I do think it does speak to her credibility, like Armin said, because she's telling the truth. And one last thing, I also want to point out the whole time she's telling herself, you know, I'm going to live, I'm going to get out of here. And as to why she's trying to, you know, kind of go along to get along, you know, because her main desire is to live. And that's, you know, fair. That's what people do in situations like that.
And remember that for some, there are some out there who believe that the actions that have happened to Mia, right, the things that she is telling us about, right, that is justified due to previous actions from Israelis long dead, like.
That it's justified simply because she's Israeli.
Exactly. Thank you. Just keep that in mind, guys, because again, it's just like, it's so frustrating to see people trying to make this comparison. And it's just like somebody hears what happened to Mia and goes, yeah, well, you know, Israel has prisoners. And it's just like, it's just baffling to me how anybody could make that comparison and think it's analogous. But that's it. That's all I got.
Yeah. So here's it. Let me make a point here about regarding the fact the Hamas probably, I didn't expect Hamas leaders, whoever is managing the whole hostage situation, to want any of these people to be raped or physically abused, right? And that's not because they're kind people, but because these are leverage. They took the hostages specifically for leverage. And as Anna mentioned, there might be some of them who did got raped, but I don't, based on how important these people are for using as leverage, if that happened, I'm assuming it happened because they didn't have complete control over what everybody is doing. And even some of the hostages were taken by non-Hamas civilians as well, right? So, but the fact that, I mean, some people are saying, so just some experts are suggesting that some of the hostages might not be released specifically because it got out of their hand and they were raped. And now Hamas is not going to release them because of the evidence that would suggest that they're raped, right? So again, it completely, when it comes to Hamas's strategy of why they took these hostages, her not being raped is completely in line with what I expected, again, for them to want. They want to make sure that they are completely fine, and when they release them, they cannot be used as propaganda against Hamas. So just wanted to add that as well. Mr. Garak in the live chat is saying it would be easy to verify if she had intercourse, so she could not lie. Garak, that's not what I'm talking about. She said they didn't touch me. Okay, not all form of rape is intercourse. Okay,
that's also
she
not
said she
how
wasn't even.
It yes, works. That's just not how the body yeah works. So
yeah, that's yeah, that's not true. Way. And she didn't say they didn't have intercourse. She said they didn't even touch me. So that's what I'm talking about, right? And another point. I want to make about the fact that she verified the fact that she confirmed the idea that we had before the hostages were came out to speak, because at the moment of them being released, there was a lot of videos on Twitter, on other social media by people saying, see how nice Hamas is. They were saying the cameras were on them. They were saying being nice to Hamas. They were like thanking them for their hospitality. They were telling to the cameras that everything was fine. They were treated great. And so many people were throwing these videos around saying like, oh my God, look, Hamas was so nice to them. How could these people be terrorists? My Twitter feed was filled with people saying that about Hamas and congratulating Hamas about how good they were when it comes to the treatment of the hostages. And we were like, how naive do you have to be? Like, even if that's true, this is not a verification of that. They are being released with Hamas soldiers right there while they have gun in their hands. And also some of their loved ones are still hostages with Hamas. None of what they're saying is proof of anything. And now she's saying this. She herself is one of those people that said that. She was like, at the moment of release, she was being nice to the Hamas members, and she was saying that everything is great, we were treated fine. And she's saying like, yeah, of course I would say that back then. They were standing right next to me. And I was also instructed to say stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So again, this I just wanted to say this is a confirmation of what we were saying back then. We should get to this. Oh, go on. Anna, you wanted to say something.
Have you seen the crowds around her when she got released, like inside Hamas, inside the Gaza Strip? The crowd, the size of the crowd, and everyone is like trying to get close to her is just astonishing. Of course, she was like terrified for her life.
Yes. Oh, by the way, I have somebody trying to do whataboutism here. This is, it's funny. I see people trying to do this. Mirjala is saying, hey, Armin, when are you going to react to the torture faced by Palestinian prisoners who were minors and were put in jail without charges by the only democracy in the Middle East? By the way, I have, this is a whataboutism. So regardless of, I don't want to, I mean, we could do a stream on this right now. This is not a stream about that. So, Anna, I know you want to really answer this, but it doesn't really matter about because this is a trap. This is a trap of whataboutism. I mean, I'm just going to assume that, yes, they've done that. And if they have done that, if we can verify it, it's so easy for me to condemn that. I'm pretty sure I have seen the Israeli government do many, many problematic things in the way that they treat people in the West Bank. And I have no problem in condemning that. I have condemned many things that the Israeli government has done. But what you're trying to do is you're trying to distract the audience. You're trying to distract us. You see what Hamas is doing, and this is obviously disgusting and vile, and you're just trying to change the direction of the people's attention. This is an lame attempt at whataboutism, not every time when we are condemning something, you don't have to condemn everything that everybody has done under the sun for you to be able to look at something and say that this is horrible. It's amazing how so many people, as soon as Hamas does something evil, you're like, oh, but what about this? What about this? What about that? I mean, especially on this channel where we have, this is one of the most consistent channels. This is when people are so focused on condemning everything that Israel does, and because they're Jewish and they are so biased in just blaming the Jews all the time. And they're the ones who are focused and don't see anything else. And this channel is actually the one that has been very consistent when it comes to condemning anybody that has any form of human rights violations. And then this channel still gets accused of that. But go on, you guys want to say.
Well, I just real quick on that, I just wanted to say, ask the question that let's take that commenter correct and say Israel did that human rights atrocity. Okay. Let's say that that's true. Does that justify this human rights atrocity? Because I would say, knowing full and well that Hamas absolutely committed these disgusting, horrific acts,
right,
I would say that does not justify the atrocity that you're claiming Israel has committed. So let's see if you're as consistent, commenter. Let's see if you are also on that same side.
This is one of those things where people, and you make an analogy, you know, you're discussing some sort of condition, like say breast cancer or something, and somebody has to stand up and say, well, what about diabetes? Diabetes is bad. People die from diabetes. Yeah. You know, I mean, when you put it in those terms, it's just, you see the ridiculousness of it, and you see how the entire focus isn't even really about supposedly these prisoners that may or may not have been put in jail without charges. The focus is, as Armin said, to turn the conversation around, to take the focus away from what you're talking about, and to just say, oh, those guys over there are bad. So anything I say to talk about how bad they are and how they deserve whatever happens to them, I'm going to use this whataboutery to do that. And it's juvenile.
I want to say that actually, the whataboutism, it started even before this war. It started very long ago, because every single time
there is a
terrorist, every single time there is a terrorist attack inside Israel before the war, okay, Hamas would go and say, or Hamas or another organization would go and say, it's a natural response to the Israeli occupation. So you can stab children in the streets and it's a natural response. Sorry. So you can stab children, you can stab grandmas, and it's a natural response to the Jewish occupation. With this natural response, you can do anything.
Yep.
Yeah.
Great point.
And I think kind of comments really show, when people, especially in the West, make it, that they actually really have no respect for Palestinians. They want to portray them as so savage and so ignorant that anything is okay for them. That they are that savage, that ignorant, that they would see...
It's just their culture, Rivka.
Right, that they would see what happened to these people, you know, killing babies, grandmas, as some sort of liberation. You don't care about these people. You don't have respect for them. And you think that you have no actual real concern, or you think that they're ignorant savages. And I find that type of people, especially in the West, love to say that. It's disgusting.
Yeah. But you're the colonizer.
So, guys, we need to get to this video. This is the most important part of this stream, which is Anna has prepared for us. But before I do that, we just got Programming C just gave but 5 memberships for the people in the live chat. Thank you so much. If you are a new member, please try to use the stickers and stuff that so that other people can see that you're a member. Thank you so much for Programming C. And also Obsessed Runner just became a member. Thank you so much for that. Great. Amazing. Guys, again, all of this helps the fact that this stream has been demonetized. It really helps us be able to continue what we're doing. Okay, so Anna, what is the context of this video that we're about to show?
So this video was sent to me by a very good friend of mine. He's an Arab speaker, and he sees what is portrayed in the Arab world, in the Arab media. And he sent it to me and said, like, look, what they are saying, like, about what they are trying to make her portray. And here they basically took places from her testimony, and they completely changed order. And like, we will see what they are trying to convey. And whoever is used to Arab videos to in Arabic about this issue knows that the narrative is basically that Hamas are treating the kidnapped very, very well, like almost 5-star hotels, and that the kidnapped ones, they go to Israel and speak with, I don't know, Mossad, they change their mind. And they are so ungrateful to Hamas. And they are telling lies in Israel. Yeah.
All right, let's play. So I'm going to... Yep. So let me just play it. And then I'm going to pause every, I don't know, 20 seconds. And you could translate for us, okay?
זה אמר לי ששני חברים שלו מתו מהפצצות של ישראל. עכשיו אני בלב שלי מבסוטה. רצח.
Okay, so do you want me to pause here?
Yeah. She says, so he told me that two of his friends were killed in the Israeli bombings. And now, like, I don't know who is talking. So it is the Hamas terrorist. And two of his friends, were killed in the bombings. And she says here, and I was very happy. Now, because they don't say it was the Hamas terrorists, you think like just a Palestinian guy, his two friends were killed, and she's happy because the two Palestinians were killed. So it already starts without like the context that the friends of the terrorists who held her, they are the ones who were killed.
That's pretty important context. That's pretty important.
And also in the Arabic, I just saw in the Arabic script, they wrote asdiqa, like friends. They didn't say like Hamas or anything.
Mm-hmm. Got it.
Can you post here? Like what they basically said, and actually my friend translated it, the Israeli kidnapped changed her statements with like once she got to Israel, she changed her statement.
Got it.
And now she says now that there are no innocent people in Gaza. Okay.
So I think that at some point she said, they're all terrorists. And I think people, they're all guilty. And I don't know if she was very specific about what she means by all, right? And that's
I've seen parts of this video, not in its entirety, but I do remember that kind of, and I believe that it was in reference to the fact that he had her captive with his family there, and like his children would come in and like look at her and like kind of laugh about her and talk about her and like bring her the food and stuff. And so basically what her comment was that like, I wasn't just held captive by this one guy who is a member of Hamas and a fighter. I was held captive by his whole family. I was this is something that they all took part in. None of them are innocent. Right.
Right.
That's what I think her reference was. I don't think she was, and I could be wrong. But I believe she was not making the reference just that a blanket, all Palestinians everywhere are, you know, I don't believe that.
But if we're wrong, here's the good thing about not being dogmatic or tribal about any of this, right? If we are wrong and she said something like that, we have no problem with saying like, oh yeah, we don't agree.
Yeah,
with
I would condemn it. Yeah, you know? Absolutely. I would say, hey, I understand why she would say that given the experience she's had. I disagree with the statement.
And
on
that vein, right? So, you know, we can say, as Armin pointed out, not being dogmatic, and that's, you know, a monolithic statement, which obviously is not true, you know. But here's the thing, even if she did say that, even if she's a jerk and she said this thing, that doesn't justify what happened to her.
Told 100%. 100%.
Are you sure about that, Rivka? Are you sure? Like,
and think about yourself. Anybody, oftentimes we say things because We're upset. We're angry. She suffered all these things. You know, she's responding emotionally, whether she said it or not. Oftentimes, even in your own family, you say things to people that are cruel, that are not true, that are mean, because you're responding emotionally. But that's one separate thing. But the point is, no matter what, it doesn't justify what was done to this woman. None of it does.
Yeah, the fact that she hasn't just said a bunch of cuss words, in my opinion, is a testament to her strength, you know? But
based on her experience, now, she indeed didn't meet any nice person in Gaza, because, like, she met only her kidnapper, his family, who were extremely mean to her, the one who operated on her arm, who was like a veterinarian and also wasn't very caring or anything. So, and the one like who shoved camera at her, like these are the contacts she had. So based on her experience, indeed, every single person she met wasn't innocent. Yes.
So, okay, so Anna, I'm going to play the rest of the video, and we need to be, because we don't have much more time left, and if we go by this rate, we're not going to be able to finish this video, right? So I want us to be a lot more to the point when it comes to the explaining of the rest of this video. But however, I just, you know, add, we here know that what Anna just said would not be a good enough reason to generalize everybody in Gaza, right? Mm-hmm. But we also, I want the audience to also realize that not everybody is like us that talks about these things and constantly get criticized online. And then we were like, okay, yeah, you're right. And then we kept on getting better and better and better and talking accurately about these things. So the way, the standard that you apply to, I don't know, me or Elliot or Anna and Rivka, you cannot expect, I mean, we could still criticize people and be like, okay, that's not a good way of describing an entire population, but we also have to understand that not everybody is constantly debating online these things and constantly learning how to be careful about their language. Anyways, let's continue. All right, go ahead, Anna.
So she said, indeed, there is not a single citizen there who is innocent. And then the next thing she says is, do you want me to start swearing, to bad mouthing? But it is actually a cut from entirely different scene where she talks about the person who shoved the camera onto her face and asked her to say nice things. So the interviewer, here it's not shown, is asking her, what would you say to the camera if you could say whatever you wanted to the camera in Gaza, to the cameraman in Gaza? And she said, I would curse. So here they are making it look like she's cursing the people in Gaza, and not like the camera, like what she thinks that she would curse in front of the camera.
Okay, so that part, I got it. So that part is propaganda, the part that it seems like she's cursing everybody in Gaza. But the part that she said, there's no innocent civilians there in Gaza, that part is accurate, right? That part is not propaganda. Okay, so that part we will criticize her as wrong. That is not a good thing to say, right? But the part that they edited to make it seem like she's swearing at everybody in Gaza, that is the edited part. Okay.
And again, I think with that specific statement, given the full context of what she was talking about, it makes a little more sense as to what she's saying, because again, the reference is specifically about the fact that the other members of his family also took part in her captivity. Again, the general statement that she made is still wrong. We're still saying we disagree with that. But the way that it is presented here is clearly dishonest and being used as a tactic. I just think that's clear.
I know I keep telling you guys that we need to move on, and I don't move on. I just want to say I don't know. Also, I don't know how logical I would be if people I loved that were killed. If I was taken hostage and then people I loved were killed, I might be like sitting here and judging people like, that's not good to say, and you're generalizing an entire population. I might myself throw away all that standard if something horrible happened to me. So I don't
know. That's why I brought up, like, just think about even a situation with your family that you're arguing about something that's not anywhere near as horrific. Everybody does this. She's 21 years old. She's a young woman. She went through this horrific thing. She saw her friends be murdered, and the world is expecting her to parse her language and say specific things. I just think that, as you said, we can say, you know, hey, that's a monolithic statement that, you know, obviously you can't, it's not true. But the point is, she just returned from being kidnapped. She was scared. She was treated horribly. Exactly as Armin said, stop and put yourself in that position. Would you be able to go, oh, let me just say that what I meant was, and then no.
Right.
Human beings are emotional, and they say things often out of fear, out of anger, out of psychological damage. And as Anna pointed out, and Elliot too, everybody around her was participating in it. So that was the milieu she was in.
Okay, we're not going to make it through this video, I'm sure. Sorry, but that's a good point.
ואני מיד מחזיקה אותה. כולי דם. והתחלתי לצרוח. איזה פעם אחת שהילד שלו.
Can you please take this sentence again? I didn't hear the beginning. Like last...
All right. Okay, we're definitely not gonna make it then. Okay.
אבל התחיל לגעת בי בחלק העליון של הגוף, ואני מיד מחזיקה אותה, כולי דם. והתחלתי לצרוח. היה איזה פעם אחת שהילד שלו הקטן, הילד קטן בן 10, זה מי שלוח אותי.
Okay.
So she said that this is from when she was kidnapped. I don't know why they didn't cut this scene out, because she said, and he started touching me in the area of the chest. This is when she was kidnapped, okay? She was just like Ben, okay? She implies that he tried to touch her sexually, but like she was with her hand bleeding and screaming like crazy. And it probably pulled him away, like the sight maybe. So he stopped. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and here they don't tell the context. So she just says like, and he touched me, and I was holding my hand bleeding. This is what they left in the video. Also, I noticed that a lot of times you don't see the cast over her hand in this video. Like they specifically wanted not to show that she's wounded, badly wounded in her hand. Yeah.
All right, let's play.
נכנס לחדר עם שקית ממתקים. הביא לו. בא אליי, פתח את השקית, סגר והלך. כאילו זה עלה, כאילו על הרוע. כמה רע.
מיה מבינה שבשביל...
So again, you don't have the context here, because like what she says, he came with candies, gave to him, then opened the bag of candies and left. Now you don't understand like who went where. It was the kid of the terrorist entering the room, giving candies to his father who is guarding her. Like opening the bag in front of her he knows that she's hungry, and taking it back just to be mean to her, the kid, like the 10-year-old kid. So here again, they don't say the context that she was hungry. They weren't giving her enough food, and the children like playing with her hunger.
So if without the context, it seemed like they brought her candy. But they basically didn't. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Yeah.
We treated them so well. We even gave them candy.
Right.
Yeah.
לשרוד, היא צריכה להעמיד פנים.
הייתה פעם אחת שהוא התחרפן, כאילו. התחיל לפקוט, לקח את הקלצ'ניקוב שלו, וזה, הייתי פתוחה שהוא עוד שנייה דופק לי כדור בראש. ובאתי אליו, התיישבתי כזה, ושאלתי אותו, מה קרה? מה קרה כזה? למה אתה בוכה?
In order to survive, I had to lie. And one time he entered the room crazy, screaming with his Kalashnikov. And she started saying, like, what happened? Because, like, imagine a violent person with a Kalashnikov running in the room screaming. Like, you think that you are going to get shot. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, he got crazy.
אוקיי.
אוקיי. זה אומר לי ששני חברים שלו מתו מהפצצות של ישראל. עכשיו, אני בלב שלי מבסוטה. רצח. אתה יודע, אני עושה כזה ככה. משחק את המשחק. אתה יודע.
כאילו שאת מנחם לו.
כן, כאילו שכואב לי. כאילו אני כואבת את כאבו. לא פחדתי לרגע מהפצצות.
Stop, please. So she asked the terrorist, like, why are you crying? Why are you behaving like this? And he said, two of my friends died from the Israeli airstrikes. And she says, and I was really happy inside, but I couldn't show it. So I did like this, and I lied, and I played the game. Now, for you, you know the backstory. So you think, like, oh, it's not propaganda, like they are telling the truth. But someone who is used to this kind of channels, they think that the Hamas are being nice to her, and she's very ungrateful. Mm-hmm. And here, she's lying mm-hmm. and behaving like a Jew, like you can't trust them. All Jews will eventually go and turn against you. Like she's turning against the people who tried so hard to take care of her.
The tree.
She's now okay. Turning against them.
I see.
Also, it's a way to insinuate that she's a liar. So no matter what she says before or after, she's already said, well, I lied. So like, see, she's a liar. You can't believe anything she said.
It also reinforces existing dogmas about Jews that they can never be trusted. They always lie. They always betray you, that they are betrayers.
Wow. Okay, let's continue.
בסדר טוב. אמרתי, יש פה משהו, כאילו...
כאילו לא שכחו אותי, יש שם...
לא שכחו אותי. ואז באמת פתאום איזה יום אחד היה שקט. שקט מוחלט. אמרתי לעצמי, קורה משהו.
היא שוחררה בפעימה האחרונה. והרגע הזה שבו היא נפרדת מהחטופים שנשארו בעזה לא עוזב אותה.
Okay.
So she's saying that she was happy when Gaza was bombed because she said, like, I felt like something is happening. And I wasn't scared from the bombs. I felt that something is happening, so I was happy. Now, they don't really emphasize the reason why she was happy. She thought they will come to rescue her. Like, the army is trying to get to her.
And right.
Like, it's just, like, she's happy that Gazians are getting bombed and that they are getting killed. They're portraying her like a monster.
Okay.
Come in. Okay, what do you mean by? We have a ksha. תעשי בלגן, שלא ישכחו אותנו. ואני כאילו מתנצלת על זה שאני יוצאת. סליחה, סליחה, סליחה. נה, אתם תיצאו, אני מבטיחה, אתם תיצאו.
Alright, go on in.
So,
I think that was the end of it, right?
Yeah, she said that she met some kidnapped and the kidnapped said, please, like, make sure that they won't forget us. And she said that I will do commotion and you won't be forgotten, right? And now what they show is the video that they shot inside Gaza, and they say like that she was treated very well in the subtitles and in this video as well. She said in this video that they treated me well, and now because she talked with the Mossad, with the Israelis, you know, with the evil Israelis, she turned around and betrayed the Hamas who were so nice to her.
Right. Here's the okay. So see,
people very good, very kind to me. Food good and the kindness and everything good.
That's so dishonest. That was exactly the point where Hamas soldiers were still there. And she also confirmed, like, yeah, obviously at that point I had to lie. And she also confirmed that they were telling me to say these things. She said that so she came and confirmed that.
They didn't show what she's now saying, that Hamas made me say these things. No, they tried to make the narrative that it's the Mossad who is telling her to speak bad things about Hamas. Like, how insane you must be to believe that an organization that kidnaps people who are like 80 plus years old or kidnaps babies can be humane and treats people well and everything is nice, and once they come to Israel because of evil Mossad is coercing them, they speak bad things about the great organization that just kidnapped a couple of babies. Come on.
There's also, not specific to Mia, but there's also videos, the first wave of hostages, when they were waving, you can see there's some larger videos that show where they're yelling, wave, wave, waves, wave, say goodbye. So there, you see them telling people to do this. And, you know, they haven't gotten out yet. So their main goal is to get out. So you're going to say or do whatever you need to do to get out.
You can just see it. You can see it in her body language. Like, I'm sorry, but like, again, like if I asked a friend of mine, hey, did you go to that party over the weekend? How was it? And they were like, oh, they were kind. You know, it's great. Kindness, you know, great, great time. I'd be like, oh man, it sounds like you did not have a good time. It sounds like you did not have fun. What happened? You can clearly see. Now, I know English isn't her first language. That's not what I'm criticizing. What I'm criticizing is, look at her in the video, you guys. It's like the textbook example of how somebody would respond if they had a gun to their head. Guess what? That is the situation. I mean, it's just nonsense. It's just nonsense.
Yeah. And honestly, I think the part where you asked why would they leave this in, I think they did it on purpose to say, like, look how fair we are. Mm-hmm. We told this part, you know, and then we
showed
and twist to make it that the Hamas is good. I mean, honestly, this is it's a whole industry of trying to invert the narrative and, you know, things like that. And I really do think that the end all important thing to think about is this woman was kidnapped. She was held by a family in Gaza and operated on without anesthesia, all of these things. She was psychologically tortured. And so, you know, to pick apart her immediate reaction after getting home, I mean, we have to think about how we would all feel. And the bottom line is, what was done to her is wrong and cannot be justified.
Right.
You know, I think they kept the bad parts because they wanted to show the contrast between, look, she was talking nicely about Hamas and Gaza when she was there. And now once she came to Israel, she turned like this. She can't be trusted. She's a liar. She's just like all the Jews that are not to be trusted.
It's probably both.
Right, right. All right, so we just got a super chat by Roy saying she said that her hand actually fell to the ground. Thank you, by the way, Roy, for the super chat. Mm-hmm. Guys, again, the super chats really, really help us because we just got demonetized. We do need your support. But if you don't want to use a super chat, that's fine. Just like the stream. The stream needs your likes for it to move, for more people to see this. So Roy saying it wasn't just bleeding. She held it with her other hand while he tried to touch her breast. I mean, I'm not exactly sure what he.
I think you're going. Like what I understood is that her arm nearly detached, not fully. Like this is what like I
dislocated. Understood.
I'm like sure dislocated. It wasn't fully detached. Yeah, yeah. I'm sure.
And her arm she said was that fully she detached. Said when she got shot, it felt like it was detached. She used those. Like she was concerned that you know that this was going to be you know a mortal wound.
Right. 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 Oh, yeah, it's dislocated. Okay. Oh, thank you so much for another super sticker by Secular Sakai. Thank you, guys. Thank you so much. And, okay, so anything, last words? I just got an insane clip from Susanna, which I might want to do a stream on next. So make sure you subscribe for that. I don't even know if we can show this on YouTube. It's so bad. But I'm going to, once we go off air, I'm going to show it to you guys. And you guys tell me if you want us to do a stream on it. But if you we're going to do more streams. So make sure, guys, you subscribe. But also, don't just subscribe. Hit the bell notification because YouTube doesn't tell you when we go live if you're just subscribed. You have to hit the bell notification. And when you hit the bell notification, you have to select all. That's the only way that YouTube might tell you that we're live right now. All right, guys. Anything else? We're good to go?
I just want to say that in Arabic, especially,
yes.
The things they say about Israel, no one is really checking it. No one was moderating it. And the amount of lies spreading is just outrageous. And I think we should cover such videos in Arabic, in Persian. In order to show what kind of manipulation they make on the victim of the circumstances, the girl who was kidnapped, they are trying to make her look evil and bloodthirsty and ungrateful to her kidnappers. It is insane. It is insane.
Well, Anna, we should also cover what's going on in English. You can hear the lies. You can hear the people who don't know what they're talking about. This is a real thing. It's this inversion of a narrative. And the last thing I want to say is that it has been almost 100 days. These hostages need to come home, especially, you know, since it's been so long, and bring them home.
Like, all right, we're already like well over an hour. I really tried to make sure that we are under an hour. I think more people watch it if we're under an hour. But we just got another super chat by Secular Sakai saying Atheist Republic should get a Substack for videos, and here's the rest of it, for videos that are too much for YouTube. I will consider that, but again, I'm already doing too many things. I don't know if I want to add another thing to it, but I will think about that. Anyways, guys, we're going to go. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Okay, Anna, go on. Like, really short, 30 seconds.
It's just very important for me. There are still hostages held in Gaza, and we must talk about it. And we must, like, not a single hostage got a visit from the Red Cross. Not a single one. Nobody is getting adequate medical care, like we saw that she was operated by a veterinarian and didn't receive like painkillers.
The Red Cross is basically being just a taxi service for them, and that's it. Exactly. And the Red Cross also just hired, their joke and at this point.
The humanitarian organizations inside Gaza, like they are so corrupted with Hamas from inside, and nobody is caring for these hostages. And here we are nearing the 100 day, and look, nothing had changed. From day one, we try making the Red Cross getting to them, and it still didn't go anywhere.
Right. All right. So yeah, by the way, Anna, you just got a major super chat by Chris saying $25. Thank you so much, Chris. Just saying, Anna, I think this is a support of Anna, what Anna is saying. So thank you so much, Chris, for the super chat. And again, thank you so much for Anna's passion for and her care and the video that she brought for us to us. Yeah, like I think it's don't you when you say sorry for being emotional, don't be sorry for, you know, I mean, I think the proper response to this is to be emotional. I don't know why you're apologizing for that. And yeah, exactly. Secular Sakai is saying that. Okay, I'm not gonna say it, but because of YouTube,
we're already demonetized.
But yes, I agree. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it comes back. I don't know if we're careful. But yeah, but we want to all say what Secular Sakai is here saying here. Just yeah, we all agree. Anyways, guys, thank you. Make sure you like the stream. Until next stream. Bye.
Yalla, bye.